We got an incredible video on our website, and you've arranged for us to visit with the fellow who took it. And why don't you give a little background about our guest here? He's on the line from Phoenix.
Right. Well, we have tonight Rob Kretowski. Excuse me, Rob. I get a little tongue-tied sometimes.
Okay, Rob, it's Rob Kretowski, right?
I
say you gotta just be positive, even if you mispronounce it. Just keep on going. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing fine. How about you, folks?
Okay, fine. What about Rob? Why are we having him on the show? I know, but let's tell our audience.
Well, the thing is a couple of weeks ago, I got an email message from our friend Brian Vike up in British Columbia, Canada. And, you know, Brian's a good source of information. A lot of people contact him to report their sightings and whatnot. And he says, boy, have I got one for you. And it was, he says, go look at this. And I did. It was Rob's site. Brian supplied some information about what this was. And I took a look at the video. And I said to myself, I said, this meets my criteria. I'm tired of getting videos of little lights, dim lights speeding around in the sky at night. I want a close-up of one of these UFOs. And believe me, this is one of the best UFO videos that I've seen.
Yeah, in fact, a lot of us have seen it and talked about it. I've received several comments from listeners about it already. Rob, I want to get into your background and all of that in a minute, but since we started talking about the video, I'd like to get a little more details about that. There's a lot of noise in that thing. Was the wind blowing that hard?
Yeah, the wind.
Of course, it does blow out there quite a lot.
Yeah, well, it was during a storm. It's still, the monsoon season. I'd say about pretty consistent 30-mile-per-hour wind, so it wasn't optimal filming conditions, which also meant certainly not optimal flare-dropping conditions either, so made it quite interesting.
Now, why don't you give us a little background on how this thing came about? I mean, you've been seeing something similar to this. Is it the same craft you've seen before, or are you just out there doing something else? How did this come about? I mean, there were other people, if you could hear them making noise. They were all excited, and there were them they should have been.
Well, there was other cars that had pulled over the road with me, but I'm not sure what is being seen, it's certainly unconventional and certainly unexplainable to me, as so far anyway. It really all started June 14th when I got putting my daughter to bed, and my wife commented on something out the window. She says, wow, what is that? And so I looked out and immediately, recognized it. Unfamiliar. And so I had her look at the video camera, and she brought it up to me.
Now, when you looked at the window and saw something unfamiliar, what do you mean by that? Was it just a light, or was it bigger than that even then?
Well, it was a string of about 6 or 7 lights. Really flashing. Quite heavily. They were the same distance. The spacing between the lights was the same. I live on the side of a hill, so, I'm always seeing airplanes go, through the sky. I've filmed at night before, and I'm very familiar with what's in the sky, what should be, what shouldn't be. The ladder, and it just was extremely large and stationary and interesting.
Well, a lot of people probably in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, aren't familiar with how things work in the Arizona desert, but you have housing developments, and then all of a sudden, there's nothing again, desert, and you live out on the northern side of Phoenix, I think, and probably right at the edge, huh?
I live right at the edge of Phoenix, so actually where I was looking at these was all the way across Phoenix, so I had to look all the way across town to see them. So they were from triangulation that was done, looked to be, you know, some ways south of Phoenix, which, you know, is 60, 70 miles, which is quite interesting. You know, they had to probably be fairly high, too, at least where they were.
Well, what you have on video is certainly not 60 miles away. How did that happen?
Well, yeah, the original one was, but this is the one video you're talking about. Actually shot from a little bit south, right towards my house, north. So that is, you know, nowhere near any type of military bombing range. This is, you know, right there in Phoenix. It looks to be about three, maybe four miles away when I was taking that. And
any of these craft that you've seen, do they make noise or anything?
No. However, at the site, some of the things that we've gotten at the site have some noise possibly associated with those lights, and, those are kind of closer type of sighting than most. This one's still fairly close, 3 to 4 miles away.
I pick up on it at least. You refer to the site, so we're talking about a place where I take it these things keep coming back.
Well, yeah, the video that you talked about is actually when I got into it and I said, okay, there's something going on here. Because right below where it showed up was a place we had been looking at for about a week or two before, because we had triangulated some sightings and also, you know, the power outages that were kind of connected to this, or possibly connected to this, even news. We had kind of triangulated and focused on a certain area. And when this craft or light had showed up right over at the top of that area, it was kind of a, you know, a kicker and say, for us, and I said, wow,
what do you think this, are these craft, maybe is a better term, are they all the same type of construction, like are they all disc shaped or are they triangular shaped, or?
Well, you know, I really don't know for sure. I'm still.
The reason I ask you that, you've got kind of a twofold background here. You're quite the media person, and you know, you do quite a very good work on film and artwork, and you got some unique things I want to talk about. And we've got to give that website. We do have a link to it on our website. We've got to give it to our radio listeners because they need to check out your work. You're a really talented guy. And while talking to you, I found out you're quite the astronomer.
Yes.
So, I mean, this seems to me like you're pretty qualified to tell us what you saw.
I'm pretty qualified to do that, and it's probably also why I kind of bring a skeptical approach to it. I hesitate to call them, you know, objects or crafts, because I don't know for sure that's what they are. Now I can tell you there's some data that the data supports that, it's, you know, certainly, but I don't know for sure if that's what it is. But
when you say data supports that, what are you talking about? What kind of data are we talking about?
We're talking about tearing apart the videos, you know, at pixel level, and analyzing that, also not just, you know, my video, but others that we
can. Larry, it sounds like when I'm talking to a fellow who just took some pictures and said, hey, this is great, he's really examined them.
Well, I think Rob is what we would call interested in investigating this phenomenon, not just observing it.
Right, yeah. In fact, I'm probably not the typical interview, because I'm not real familiar with ufology, and I actually have...
I think Larry told me in a previous conversation talking to you, you were a skeptic at one time.
Well, yeah, I am, and in fact, I'm not excited about this possibly being, actually. If I had my choice, I would rather have it be, you know, some natural occurring phenomena that we could, you know, learn something from, you know, maybe it's a discovery of some scientific nature. I'm just, you know, for one, I'm too close to it, you know. I'm not sure it would be totally a benign thing if it was like that. So, and I'm fairly close to where it's happening. So, and I have kids, so, you know, if I had my choice, I'd rather have it be naturally occurring. But, you know,
what's your wife think of this?
Well, I think of it.
Yeah, your wife. What does she think of it?
Well, she's also a skeptic.
Okay.
No longer, of course, but she designs mainframe computers. So she has, you know,
she's quite technical, too, then.
High intellect. She was a skeptic, but she's the original one that saw it. She's too, and, you know, I guess we learned to live with it, but it can be.
When's the last time you had a signing?
Boy, you know, there's two different types of things.
Well, maybe we need to get into that first.
There's the distortion type that, you know, you don't really see anything light-wise or object-wise with the mountain is kind of being key for the sight type. There is a good deal amount of the time that you can see some type of what almost looks like a distortion coming from it. It's usually not, you know, all over, but in like a funnel or vortex-like.
This seen in the daytime usually, or?
No, it's both.
Uh-huh.
Both.
And this has been kind of common.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that alone, most people probably think it's, well, there's lots of people talk about vortexes, et cetera, in Arizona, but a lot of people probably think it's some sort of natural phenomenon.
Sure.
And
it may be, but, you know, it's definitely there, and it's something that's kind of subtle, but anyone he pointed out to says, wow, yeah, but it's not something going about your daily business that would necessarily capture your attention, but it's certainly perceptible.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it does. And, you know, I always wonder about those things. Well, I'm seeing it from here. I wonder what they're seeing there, you know, somebody there in the mountain.
Can I intervene here for just a second and just make sure that our listeners understand we keep talking about a site that, you know, where these events keep occurring, at least the ones with the current UFO videos and what you're talking about with these energy vortexes, is that this site is a Native American ceremonial site. And it's probably pretty Columbia. You know, you've got a lot of artifacts there that are, you know, they're not from the 1890s.
No, but it's very old. In fact, so old that just a mile south of the site I'm talking about is a It's a sensor entity that ASU here runs. It's not very well known, but it's a petroglyph. It's a mountainside that's basically covered with petroglyphs. Now, the oldest ones, believe it or not, have been dated, and this is by ASU, which is a fairly conservative university, around 8,000 years old. So,
I mean, this is like getting back to times when the Native Americans were migrating out of Siberia, right?
Well, you know, that's exactly right. That's, if you believe what they told, they said the pyramid is, that's three times as old as the pyramid.
Right.
So, yeah, it's quite a... Well,
there have been lots of ancient tales and legends in those Arizona mountains. Of course, Superstition Mountain's famous, but there's many others. And there seems to be a Native American path, I guess, Larry, would be the term. Talked to these people. I talked to a fellow last night up in Washington State who... the Yakima Indians up there seem to have something going on.
In the Mount Adams area.
Mm-hmm. And and in Wisconsin, we mentioned that, there's Mary Sutherland, the top of the show.
Yeah, that place is full of Native American stuff.
Yeah, burial grounds, et cetera, et cetera.
And one thing, I spoke with Rob earlier about this, it mentioned Mary's case. And some of the similarities to his. And Rob asked me, had I heard about, what was it, you said Rock Lake?
Right.
And as it turns out, Mary is quite familiar with Rock Lake. It is southeast of Burlington.
Rob, why did you ask about Rock Lake? What's the deal going on there?
Well, I had read up on Rock Lake probably 2 years ago in a magazine, and I found it to be a fascinating place. And when he was talking about that place, I wondered, you know, if she had any similar type of Native American type. I just happened to Rock Lake because it was one, actually the only one I know of.
Yeah, well, that Rock Lake is only about 10-15 miles southeast of Burlington, and as a matter of fact, Mary's hovering UFO that appears nightly, as long as the skies aren't clouded over and you can see, where they figured out that it probably is.
Well, I'd say Rock Lake.
Right.
I just guessed. That was pretty logical, so that's what we were talking about.
And, I've got Mary checking up on whether we've got quartz quarries or deposits in the area.
We hear about that sometimes. Are there some quartz around your place? Your site you're talking about?
There certainly is, yeah. There's a, in fact, where I live is kind of like a horseshoe-shaped little valley that's at the very edge of town, like I said. So everything on the outside of the horseshoe is kind of just a desert, and then where the last little house is settled in a town. But from about the top of the horseshoe all the way around the mountain spring to the site, there is a... very large vein for professors gold mines in the mountain.
That could be lots of things. One of the hypotheses that we like to throw around is that, and this also goes for gold, as a matter of fact, but mainly for quartz, it must be some kind of energy source for these things. Either literally, if they're mechanical or whatever, you could reach out and touch them, then they need to fuel up like a gas station, or if they're more spiritual in nature, there's something about the quartz that brings them out.
Yeah, and also scientifically what comes to mind is if they're using some type of resonance, then quartz would be a great source of providing that stable resonance or entrainment of waves or particles. Certainly would be a great tool for that.
You know, well, quartz has long been known, even to us human beings, that is a great conductor of electromagnetics. And of course, there's certainly theories that UFOs, that electromagnetics is a big part of the propulsion mechanism, at least the one they use here in the atmosphere on Earth.
Right, right.
And we, so what do you think, Rob? That's the one area we were talking about. You said there were two different theories or thesis or whatever. The one was the aberrations you see on the mountain.
Right, and then the other would be more of the light with the objects. But they, they're also being close to the mountain. They're just, and actually it's not free of distortion either. I think the most interesting video I have is the first one on my webpage, and I've got a lot of responses from science folk and ufologists on that video. Is an object that I saw it. It was definitely inside of or generating some type of distortion as it passed overhead. And we can clearly see what looks to be some type of geometric figure or object that did pass over the top of me. Quite a little creepy, quite safe.
Well, the thing, you talk about your website, you do some very artistic but ultra-modern science fiction type stuff. Looks good. Now, why don't you give that website address for us?
It's www.worldblend. It's how it sounds, worldblend.net.
I noticed you worked with some pretty good names, some pretty well-known people. You might tell our listeners some of those. I saw Hugh Downs' name there on your bio.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a spokesman for Cosmic Call, and I did the artwork for that project from out of Houston. Basically, they had rented a Russian satellite giving out a radio signal, kind of like the SETI is looking for signals. The project was sending signals out. You know, it had some people involved, like David Bowie and so on. In that sense, scientific modeling versus different, fairly mainstream scientists.
You're fairly scientific yourself, and you're creative for sure, so I guess that actually works to your advantage in this area, because you turn out some great things.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's just kind of different type of artwork and stuff. Oh,
and you know where I'm going, don't you? You're quite the photographer, too.
Yeah.
Any tricks on these pictures? I mean, this picture you sent me, that looks really real. And so I guess it is. And what I'm saying is, some listener listening says, well, this guy does all this stuff. He knows this stuff. One, skeptic, you used to be one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and I could probably do something like that if I tried, but not so much on video. Video is a little bit more...
It's pretty tough, right?
Trickier, yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, the more distorted video, the harder it would be to do. Something clear and...
Yeah, it's just the reverse of what the average lay guy would think.
No, it certainly is. I mean,
yeah.
Especially, well, there's no way I could do the video of where you see the cars and such stuff in front of the camera and all that light artifact from the headlights. You know, that's just...
When you... this pretty close up that one with the wind blowing and the crowd or several people making noise in the background or exciting and all of that, that craft or whatever that object was 2 or 3 blocks away, it looked like to me, maybe a mile.
Probably about 3 miles,
I think. Oh, is that far? And of course, the desert can't really tell.
That will, yeah, and that also makes it quite big.
Unless you're familiar with it.
I would say it was, because that's actually where the site that I'm talking about is about 3 miles from that location, and it certainly seemed like it was right over that site. So, yeah, in fact, I almost missed getting that footage, but it was, as I was going over the last little hill to go into Phoenix, I noticed that I was almost to the top, and I noticed another car that kind of pulled off real quick to the side of the road that was going opposite. The way I was going, with my back to light. And when I saw it pull off, I went down a little bit down the road, and I said, I wonder why they were pulling out the road looking out the window. So I decided to turn around, and I pulled back. I had my video camera with me.
That's one of the unique things about this, or maybe it's not unique, maybe that's not the correct description, Larry, but it's a happenstance or afterthought a lot of times that people see these things.
Right.
I often say that I've never seen anything, and I've been doing shows like this for 40 years. It's probably because I'm not paying attention.
Well, it's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of them. This mess of something wrong. And here you almost did that, Rob. You saw somebody looking the other way, and normally you wouldn't stop and think about it.
It's totally true. I wouldn't have thought about it. In fact, when something happens, which it has, obviously, here, you start to think of all the things in the past that have happened that as a skeptic or that didn't have it in their realm of possibilities, all the episodes they can written off different things. to explain what you've seen in the past. That's never occurred to you as being something totally strange, although you could have thought it was. Yeah, it's possible. A lot of people do things don't put it in.
Well, we said when we talk about these things, I think it's pretty clear to me you probably haven't drawn a conclusion. One that you must have something, a theory or something you're leaning toward what you're seeing after all this time. Or do you yet?
I know that the data that you've got says that certain things are possible and certain things aren't. Now, there is actually a scientist that, has been looking into this with me that I kind of like his theory, and which is basically, and he's a gravitational theorist, he basically says that, a lot of this is looking like that the distortions and patterns created by that look like some type of either self technology or, gravimetric drive technology that would be involved in this, I guess maybe even wormhole, but they're kind of the same. I could get the same effect anyway, so that would be one thing I could say that now, I just got a call from are you familiar with David Serrata?
Sure, in fact, I just was with David Serrata in Roswell, he's quite the investigator, so he's heard about you, huh?
Well, yeah, he contacted me last week, and I had seen his site before, and I tell you, his theory is so in line with what we were kicking around that, I'm very interested to talk more.
What does he think? Is it the kind of a portal type thing?
Well, basically, what he's proposing was the fact that, we have a problem with achieving, approaching light speed or any type of gravimetric drive. We have a problem with mass, making that much mass go that fast. And what he's proposing basically is the same thing we were talking about, which is taking that mass problem and reducing the mass via some type of harmonic or resonant vibration, I guess, reducing that mass down to practically zero, where you make this type of transportation feasible from an energy standpoint.
Yeah, we've done several shows with several different people on theories like that, so it's definitely a possibility, and there's more scientific data coming along all the time on that.
Yeah, and I know David, you're doing some data, but it's like videos from telescopes that trying to make a four-dimensional model out of wave data distortion. I think we're totally on the right track with that.
Well, Larry, we got to get to our sightings report for the week here in a moment, but anything you want to bring up? You want to ask?
Well, mainly what I want to do is indicate to our listeners that this is sort of an ongoing investigation. Rob is one of a series of guests that we've had on in the last several weeks, and I do plan on having more as well. People who are actually experiencing these events, getting them on video or photographing them, and there are commonalities here that we're seeing amongst all of these people. And I was especially interested tonight to hear Rob tell me about the concurrence with the ceremonial grounds, the Native American ceremonial grounds, and the quartz deposits, because that's just one more link here in what I think is there's some story here about something different is going on than we have seen in the field of UFO investigation. This is a new thing that is happening. It has never happened before, where we've had so many of these reports coming in and so many commonalities. And one must ask the question is, what is the agenda? If we're talking ET, what's going on? And I truly believe that we are talking ET. We're not talking U.S. government.
That's what you think. And Rob, you're hoping it's the U.S. government.
Yes, I guess. I'm hoping it's something a little
yeah.
more familiar. But, you know, whatever it is, that doesn't care what my hopes are, you know. It is what it is, and I'll say what I think the data points to, you know, regardless of what I hope it is. So, I agree with what Larry said, but I'm not very familiar with what ufology has done in the past. I haven't really followed it. It certainly would seem to me that there's something happening, an ongoing thing currently, not just Phoenix, but it seems like a couple other locations.
It's all over the U.S.
Yeah, I've had a chance to...
We did not discuss the Phoenix Lights tonight too much, but we'll get at the end of another show if you're on that. Lots of things have happened in your area.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Some of that could be military. It could be a mixture.
I think certainly is flares from the Goldwater Range, and I think even that they're testing something out there, and I've even got emails from folks kind of, hinting at that. So it's part of it, but it certainly doesn't explain the weirdest places of the things that have happened in Warren Town.
Well, we're not going to forget about you, and we're stay in touch. I think you're on to something. Why some of us have these things happen to us, and Arizona is a mystery. It's maybe, I'm not sure. But I'm going to be out in part of the country over the next couple of weeks, and I'll give you a call.
Well, that'd be great. And in fact, it is the opportunity, in my opinion, if someone's interested in getting data via instrument to come out here and, sit down for a night or two, and they can get this data, this footage if they want to. So it's just a matter of if someone has the gumption to actually go and do it, then great. I'd be interested in seeing that footage of that as well.
Well, we'll all stay in contact. I mean, you are working with some people now, I understand, that people are contacting you.
The equipment that I would like to have is such as infrared cameras and so on, but we are certainly trying to get that.
Okay, well, keep us posted, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and got to plug that website one more time in your business. Are you up open for assignments, or you have lots of things for sale, don't you?
Actually, no. You know what? I took down all my artwork for sale page.
You did, huh?
It happened.
That's too bad. You got some pretty good pieces.
Well, I didn't want it to anyone to think that I was creating something to draw attention to that, so I made sure that I could benefit from it, so that wouldn't happen.
Well, Larry sounds like an ethical guy.
Yeah. I think you're going to have to definitely plan on the two of you getting together if Jerry gets an opportunity to pass through the Phoenix area on his way to Las Vegas.
Well, probably on the way back.
And maybe you'll...
I'll be in contact with you, Rob.
Sure, yeah, and...
Maybe you get some pictures and an actual interview while one of these things is going.
Yeah, I'm going to go up to there to take my little tape recorder and go out there on Indian burial ground and by the quartz grip and make the interview, and who knows what will happen.
I can tell you with some confidence that I think if something would. In fact, this has took two researchers there last week, and it's one of those things you're like, oh, it's probably not going to happen, but very strange thing happened to it. I know it kind of spooked one of them, actually. So.
Well, I love to be spooked, so once every person requires writing out, but no. We'll be in contact with you.